But I want to talk about this as it relates to the use of time. And my question to each one of us is simply this: do you take time to fast before the Lord? It's actually probably a question that many of you have never really ever been asked. And in fact, growing up in the church, fasting was something we really didn't talk about, because to be quite honest with you, it was something that we really didn't want to do. But I want to spend some time reflecting with you on the gift of time. As you and I both know, time is a tremendous gift that God has given us. And the older that we get, the more we realize how short time is and how important it is that we use it wisely. And so what I want to encourage you to consider with me is what fasting might look like as a part of your ongoing spiritual disciplines in your life. On this part of the sheet that has a picture at the top and has fast at the top as well, if you look at the very bottom of that sheet, I want to start with a quote from Nehemiah. "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And this is actually the beginning of Nehemiah. It records the reaction of Nehemiah when he heard a report about the city of Jerusalem and that it was in disrepair, that basically the city walls were torn down and it was abandoned. And Nehemiah, when he heard this about Jerusalem, it broke his heart, and he began to cry before God for a number of days. And also, he was so distraught and so brokenhearted that he fasted as well. He just didn't feel like eating, and he made that as a form of prayer unto the Lord. One of the interesting things that you'll note about Nehemiah is, as you read the rest of the story, God honored that crying before him, that weeping. He honored his fasting. And God raised Nehemiah up along with the remnant that were in the city at that time. He blessed him through the king of that time, a pagan king, to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so God used him to answer his own prayers. And time again, you will find in the scripture that when God's people are facing insurmountable odds, when God's people are really struggling and really need a miracle breakthrough, invariably God's Spirit leads them to fast. Fasting is a very powerful form of prayer. It's sacrificial. I mean, you know, for an Italian to give up eating for a while, that's a big thing, let alone for all of us, right? That's a hard thing to do. And so that's the sacrifice that is part of that prayer that means so much to God. And so one of the things we need to realize is the power of fasting. There's also a story in the Old Testament about Esther. And again, the people of Israel were in exile. And it came to her ears that the king was going to destroy the Jews. And so her and the rest of the Jews, for a period of, I think it was 3 days, fasted and prayed before Esther went in to go see the king. And she went in, and the tide turned, and the people of Israel were preserved. And again, you'll see story after story after story where God's people, in the face of incredible odds and incredible struggle and incredible darkness, were led by God's Spirit to fast and to pray, and God moved in miraculous ways. So you notice at the top of this side of the sheet, the words fast, fasted, or fasting actually appear 61 times in the Old and New Testaments. That's a lot of times for a word to be showing up. The Hebrew word actually means to abstain from food, but it can also mean abstinence from drinking, bathing, or sexual relationships. Fasting basically reveals our weakness and dependence on God. And so as you and I fast as human beings, whether it be from food or water, just to use the most basic forms, we begin to experience our need, don't we? One of the things, if you haven't done it before, is try not eating a meal or two. And what you'll find about after lunchtime, your stomach is growling. And you're looking at food maybe you wouldn't even have eaten before, like, boy, I can't wait to grab a bite of that or something like that. Or if your fast involves thirst from drinking, if you haven't drank for a while, you become thirsty. And that's a very normal thing for that to happen to us as human beings, because we need to eat and drink. And so one of the things that happens when you and I fast is it reveals our dependence upon God. It reveals our weakness as human beings. And that's a very important thing for you and I to realize. It brings us back to our knees. It brings us back to a greater dependence upon God. And it changes the way that we pray. I can honestly say to you that in my experience with fasting and other people I know as well, as you enter into this time of fasting, at the beginning it's kind of easy, but then as it goes on, it gets more difficult. But also during that time of fasting, there's a deeper and more profound experience of God that is different from when you're not fasting. That's all I can say. And it's very powerful, and God moves in very incredible ways. The reality about biblical fasts is that the duration varies. You can fast for part of a day, or you can fast for a full day. Sometimes it goes from sundown to sunrise to sunset, and then from sunset to sunset. It can go for part of a day or a full day. You could fast for a period of days or for a week or for 40 days. We see with Moses and with Jesus and with Daniel, they had fasts of 40 days that preceded their ministry or preceded some kind of spiritual breakthrough that they desperately needed. So what I want to say to you today is that if you have a need in your life, or somebody that you love has a need in their life, maybe it's for a breakthrough in terms of physical healing, maybe they need some kind of spiritual deliverance, maybe they need some kind of breakthrough financially in terms of work or whatever, and you've tried everything that you know to do and nothing seems to be happening that you've tried spiritually, I want to make a suggestion to you. Try fasting. And maybe try tapping on the shoulder of a couple of other people who might be willing to join you. And I would say to you, you'll begin to see an answer to your prayers that you haven't seen before, because that's what's required. Spiritual reasons for fasting include repenting, mourning, to prepare ourselves for spiritual battle, and to humbly seek God's direction, mercy, or blessing. There are different types of fasts. You can simply fast from liquids. That would be a normal fast. You could have an absolute fast, which is fasting from everything. You can have a partial fast, which means you omit certain meals. Maybe you don't eat breakfast and you eat lunch and dinner. Or maybe you don't eat breakfast and lunch and then you eat dinner. Maybe you do it for just a couple of days a week, or maybe you do it for three or four. You see the varieties and the different ways in which this can come about and the ways in which you can fast. There are many. Also, there are what are called rotational fasts, where you can do certain food groups. The Daniel fast, he only ate fruits and vegetables, nothing else. That was his fast, and that's considered a rotational fast. And so you might fast from certain food groups. Maybe your fast for the week is not eating desserts because you really love those chocolate bonbons or whatever. You know, so that's your sacrifice. Or maybe it's a meal or two. But you know, one of the things I say to people as they consider this whole idea of fasting is pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me fast from? What would you have me sacrifice to you in order to be in this form of prayer? And then listen to the Lord speaking to you. The important thing to remember about fasting is that it includes sacrifice. You give something up. But it also includes service, reaching out to the poor and needy that are in our midst. And I'll share that more with you about that in just a moment. Another way in which we can fast in our modern day is to unplug from the media. Turn off your TV. Take out the earplugs of your iPod or your iPhone. Turn off the radio for a while. Maybe you fast from media for a day. And in that silence, in that solitude, spend some extra time in prayer. Maybe going for a prayer walk in your neighborhood, or maybe just sitting in the comfort of where you live and spending that time that you would be listening or watching something and spending it in prayer. And again, as people have shared with me, as they have done this, they've really experienced an increased sense of the presence of the Lord. That's a form of fasting as well. If you flip your sheet over, you'll notice at the top the word serve. And this was read in our Old Testament lesson today in Isaiah 58. This was a particular scripture I came into at the end of last year and the beginning of this year that really excited me. Yes, and it even excited me, even though it was about fasting. And the thing that excited me about this scripture in Isaiah 58 was how it gave me a whole new vision of fasting. You know how so often when we think about fasting, it's about sacrificing something, and that's part of it. Maybe not eating or drinking for a period of time. Maybe not watching TV or listening to media in some way. And that's the sacrificial part of fasting, and that's true and real. But you realize in reading Isaiah 58 that it also includes serving. And I felt like God turned a light bulb on inside of my head when I saw that for the first time earlier this year. is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see him naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. So you see, this is fasting as well. And it's not one or the other, it's both and. And that's why in our 40 days right now of As One, A National Appeal to Heaven, as we're in this time of fasting before the national election, for us it's not just about sacrifice and giving things up, but it's about serving the poor and the needy that are in our midst and reaching out to them in very concrete and tangible ways. And as you and I do that in this place and in our own individual lives and corporately, we're fasting. That's the kind of fast that God has chosen. That's the kind of fast that God desires. It's a fast of love. That's what it is. It's a fast of reaching out in his love to the needy that are in our midst in the name of Jesus of Nazareth and saying to them, the Lord loves you and we love you as well. And caring for them and helping them and sharing that journey together. I just found that so exciting, you know? I don't know about you, but again, there's a lot going on in this election right now, isn't there? But one of the things I've noticed in this election is they aren't talking about the poor and the needy very much. In fact, I haven't heard very much talk about that in either corner at all. And I would submit to you that one group that really needs to be talking about the poor and needy more is the church, specifically in regard to Isaiah 58 and how it looks like for you and me to reach out into this culture in this present moment, even within our own church, to reach out to the poor and needy that are in our midst in the name of Jesus and to reach out in love and to let that truly be a part of our fast. See the promise that is a part of this mid-paragraph. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. I'm grabbing a hold of that promise. I am grabbing a hold of that promise. And that promise is putting a smile on my face because I deeply believe that as you and I walk in this kind of fast, this is the fast the Lord has been waiting for the church to walk in. To walk closer to him, to be more holy and pure before him, to worship him and to serve him, and to walk in love toward him, and then to walk in love toward our neighbor in a way that is renewed, in a way that is blessed, in a way that is full of his light and his generosity. And as you and I do that in the church, his healing is even more going to break forth upon us and upon those around us. His righteousness, his power, his anointing, his light in the midst of this darkness is going to break through his church. And so I want to share this with you here today as a word of encouragement. You know, as I look out on your faces, you don't look very excited. And I kind of expected that because I'm talking about fasting. I didn't expect you guys to be jumping from the bleachers and jumping up and down and getting all excited about this. I'm not surprised, and it's okay. But I want to encourage you to go back to Isaiah 58. Would you this coming week open up your Bible to Isaiah 58 and maybe read that once a day? And just be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you about that scripture, about what kind of fast he's calling you and me to in this hour. I would submit to you that the hour in which we live desperately needs a Christian community that is willing and realizes how much we need to cry out to God in this hour. That we need God to show up in a way that he never has before. That we need him to minister through his people in a way like he never has before. And in order for that to happen, you and I need to be fasting and praying in ways that will touch the heart of God and move us to be a blessing to many, many people.